ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 8, Manifestation of Brahma from Vishnu, text number 6.
Mugrinam chopa chasanuraga
Mugrinam chopa chasanuraga
Skalat padenasya kritani tajgya Kirita sahasra mani praveka
Kirita sahasra mani praveka
Pratyojito dhamma pana sahasram
Pratyojito dhamma pana sahasram
The four Kumaras, headed by Sanat Kumar, who all knew the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, glorified the Lord in rhythmic accents with selected words full of affection and love. At that time, Lord Sankarshan, with his thousands of raised hoods, began to radiate an effulgence from the glowing stones on his head. Purport. The Lord is sometimes addressed as Uttama Shloka, which means one who is worshipped with selected words by devotees. A profusion of such selected words comes from a devotee who is fully absorbed in affection and love for the devotional service of the Lord. There are many instances in which even a small boy who was a great devotee of the Lord could offer excellent prayers in the choicest words for glorification of the pastimes of the Lord. In other words, without the development of fine affection and love, one cannot offer prayers to the Lord very suitably. Om Gyana Chimadandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshu Militamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Once again, we're at the bottom of the universe with Lord Sankarshan, Anantajay. And the four Kumaras are there, headed by Sanat Kumar. Remember, the four Kumaras, the Chatusana. Four boys who, physically they're appearing as boys, but actually they're amongst the greatest sages in the universe, along with Narada Muni and others like that. And they are accompanied by other sages, and they've all traveled to the bottom of the universe by the celestial Ganges. Now, the whole point is they want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Lord Sankarshan. We've explained often that the Bhagavatam is a body of information which is worked and reworked according to different styles in different times and places. But it's the same kernel of information. Like an accordion, sometimes it's expanded and sometimes it's not. We explain how Brahma can understand the whole Bhagavatam just in four verses, Chatushlok. Now we're hearing about the glorification offered by the four Kumaras. They're actually wise because they know the transcendental activities of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Takvata. One who could understand the truth about his Janma his so-called birth in this world, and his karma, his activities in this world. One who can understand that truth does not take birth again in this world. This is the standard of knowledge. How is it that what you know will stop the cycle of birth and death? You want to evaluate what you're studying. If you want to evaluate the wisdom in your life, then see, will what you know stop the cycle of repeated birth and death? New agey type people, of course, that influence is everywhere, like to say, well, life's a learning process. It's all about learning. Okay, has what you learned, or supposedly learned, stopped your implication in samsara, the cycle of repeated birth and death? Of course not. Generally, whatever they're learning, so-called learning, just deepens their drowning in the pool of material existence. What the devotees are learning, however, by engaging in Krishna's service, will not only free them from the cycle of birth and death, but it will also bring them to ecstatic love of Krishna. Positive and negative is there. You'll become free from material miseries, and you'll become absorbed in ecstatic affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotee is always trying to show affection for the Lord. And the Lord is not callous. Krishna is always trying to show affection for us. In this verse you can see that the four Kumars, they're glorifying the Lord in full artistry. Real art is based on affection for the Supreme Lord. Based on bhakti, all the arts actually develop. The shastras explain how actually all the arts of singing and dancing and cooking and dressing and decoration come from Goloka Vrindavan, especially or specifically from Krishna's Rasa Leela, which is the height of artistry. All music, dance, all fine ways of dressing, fine ways of talking, all this comes from Krishna Leela. Art is actually stemming from affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As this purport explains, when there's the development of fine affection and love, then you can offer prayers to the Lord very artistically. But without that development of fine affection and love, what can happen? That fine affection and love has to be there if you want to understand Krishna. And certainly it has to be there if you want to love Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhakchamam abhijanati. Only by this fine affection and love can I be understood. Therefore, the main questions of our life are, first of all, how to become free from the cycle of birth and death. And secondly, most importantly, how to develop fine affection and love for Krishna. I know that all of you have loving propensity. Everyone wants to love and be loved. And Krishna is the master at reciprocating loving affection. How is he doing it? Even with the four Kumaras, they're offering wonderful prayers. And the Lord reciprocates. How does the Lord reciprocate? On his thousands of raised hoods. Lord Sankarshan at the bottom of the universe. He's in the form of a celestial serpent with thousands of heads. On those raised hoods, there are stones. And when the four Kumaras offer very beautiful words of glorification, the stones on the raised hoods of the celestial serpent, Lord Sankarshan, begin to glow. There's no matter on the body of the Supreme Lord. The stones on his thousands of raised hoods are also spiritual, personal. So maybe if someone says some choice words about you, you'll blush. So Lord Sankarshan, he has the stones on his thousands of raised hoods and they begin to radiate in effulgence. The purport describes how there are many instances in which even a small boy who was a great devotee of the Lord could offer excellent prayers in the choicest words for glorification of the pastimes of the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj was meditating on the Lord in the heart. He was following the instructions of his spiritual master, Narada Muni. And then the Lord, then his vision, his antar darshan, his vision of the Lord within the heart, broke. He opened his eyes and saw the Lord was outside of him. And he immediately felt the feet of the Lord. But he felt inadequate. I'm just a little boy. How can I offer proper prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And the Lord touched his conch shell. To Dhruva Maharaj's head, and Dhruva Maharaj became empowered with the ability to offer choice prayers to the Supreme Lord. Also Prahlad Maharaj, when Lord Nrisingadeva appeared, no one could pacify Lord Nrisingadeva. Brahma couldn't, Indra couldn't, even Lakshmi Devi could not. But when Prahlad fell at the feet of Lord Nrisingadeva and felt the touch of Lord Nrisingadeva's paw upon his head, he then offered very memorable prayers. The whole point of our career in Krishna consciousness is to develop gradually different levels of love for Krishna. Love for serving Krishna is the same as loving Krishna. As the purport states, a profusion of such selected words comes from a devotee who is fully absorbed in affection and love for the devotional service of the Lord. We're hoping that you all will take this up as a serious career to develop affection and love for the devotional service of the Lord. To not take devotional service in an ordinary way. To not be mechanical or wooden-headed about it. But to actually try to fall in love with devotional service. Most of you know what it's like to try to fall in love with some limited, tiny, helpless living entity. Now, try to fall in love with devotional service. Cultivate a relationship with devotional service. You all know how to start cultivating a relationship with someone. So, do that with devotional service. Try to get to know devotional service better. Try to deepen your immersion in devotional service. Try to develop patience and tolerance. How many of you have ever been in a relationship and there was no patience or tolerance required whatsoever? Maybe a one-night affair or a weekend affair. But anything longer than a few days, and you have to be very patient and tolerant. That's part of cultivating the relationship. So obviously, in our development of devotional advancement, we have to learn how to be tolerant and patient in bhakti yoga. Then you'll see the painful selfishness that causes you so much trouble start to disappear. Our conditioning tells us that by being selfish, we'll be happy. By just paying attention to our selfish desires, our life will be successful. Actually, things are not in that way. Things don't happen like that. Devotional service teaches you to expand your loving propensity, not to be a miser, in Sanskrit, kripana. No, to expand the loving propensity, not to just keep it boxed up in some selfish way of behavior. That is one of the effects of illicit sex life. It makes you very selfish. You just focus on your own skin. The hellish life. My skin. And who's next to my skin? Whose skin is next to my skin? It makes you so limited, so narrow-minded, so selfish, and you think you're going to be happy in that way. Oh, my skin is going to be satisfied. It's like pigs like to roll in the mud, satisfy their skin. When you go to Vrindavan, you can study the pigs. You did that? You can see everything. We're trying to go the opposite way in devotional service, from selfishness and limitation to expanding the heart, expanding the loving propensity. Try to understand that and actively work to assist the process. Become hungry for increasing your service to Krishna. Then you'll understand Krishna more. And then you'll become empowered with the ability to glorify Krishna. If you actually want to understand the science of Krishna, then you must develop this fine affection and love. You cannot understand just by your material research capacity. You cannot understand Krishna by your intellectual prowess. Otherwise, all the university professors would understand Krishna. The fact that they don't shows you that you need something else in order to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. The science of Krishna is spiritual because Krishna is spiritual. Just as you cannot understand Krishna with material intelligence, similarly you cannot understand the science of Krishna with material intelligence. There is such a thing as the deluding energy. Do you ever wonder why, even though you see that Maya brings such suffering, that people are still attracted to Maya? Even you can see that in yourself. When you think about it, you know you will not be satisfied with material desires. When you think about it, you know you have suffered enough in the past due to material desires. But still, there's something attractive about it. You've noticed that? Why is that? Because Maya is deluding. It's falsely charming. Once you understand that about the material energy, then you become a bit more peaceful. Otherwise, you may rack your brains. Why is it that although Maya brings pain, there's still some attraction, and I still feel some attraction, even though I've been beat on the head so many times? Even though I know that certain things, certain activities will not satisfy me, still sometimes I feel attraction for these things. Why? That's because Maya is enchanting, bewildering, deluding. Don't think the material world is just a neutral place. Don't think the material energy is just some kind of neutral energy. No, it's beguiling, it's bewitching, it's alluring. When you understand that, then the mystery becomes clear of why, even though Maya beats you on the head, you're still attracted. But when your attraction to Krishna increases, automatically then the attraction for Maya will decrease. Those of you who are serious about Krishna consciousness, you will work to develop an active program for increasing your affection and love for devotional service, deepening your relationship with devotional service. Those kind of persons will understand. We should always ask questions about Krishna and how to improve our service to Krishna. Krishna explained to Brahma in those four verses everything that fosters devotion to Krishna and everything that impedes devotion to Krishna. That we should know about. Let us solidly understand what we are doing. We have taken up the process to expand our love by reviving our relationship with the unlimitedly lovable person. You don't know anyone in the material world who's unlimitedly lovable. Therefore, out of frustration, we think, well, be realistic. Just accept that you're never going to be fully satisfied, but find some so-called loving situation in which you're partially satisfied and accept it as that. But Krishna, from his side, wants you to taste limitless love. Therefore, he allows us to engage in devotional service. You all should make plans as individuals how you're going to develop your affection and love for devotional service, how you're going to cultivate a relationship with devotional service. Don't think that the duties here are just ordinary things, part of being in the club. No, you should learn to relish these things. Make a career out of it. Don't be afraid to invest your whole life in these things. For so many births and deaths, you invested your life in Maya, cultivating relationships with Maya, and what was your reward? Beat on the head, physical and mental abuse of yourself, by yourself. That's why. Quite often these days, persons, they come to Krishna consciousness, they say, oh, no more relationships, no marriage, because they remember chewing the chewed, squeezing the squeezed. I think, what's the point of all that? If we cultivate a relationship with devotional service, then Krishna will arrange what we need to advance in his service. Just because we have been burned in material life by cultivating material relationships doesn't mean we should hesitate to cultivate relationships with Krishna's service. We should understand the difference. I think you all can see when some of your cohorts start to become enlivened in devotional service. Even their physiology changes. They become bright-faced, bright-eyed. And then others become inspired. Yes, just look at that devotee. So shining. I want to be like that. Sometimes we have a fear that we'll give so much to Krishna and he'll not reciprocate. Under the influence of Maya, we don't worry so much about Maya, because Maya seems to provide instant gratification for your skin. But Krishna we worry about, because Krishna doesn't give skin gratification, so we're a little suspect of him. Maya has a good program for skin stimulation. Seems that Krishna doesn't have this program. Therefore, we're a little bit careful about dealing with Krishna. Maya, well, you know, just let it all hang out, get into it, and, you know, something will happen. Krishna, I don't know, you know. Actually, there is sense gratification in Krishna consciousness. Yes. What's the sense gratification in Krishna consciousness? Yes. Krishna consciousness is a feast for your senses, all your senses. But you're gratifying your senses indirectly. That's the secret. You're pleasing Krishna's senses directly, and you're pleasing your own senses indirectly. That's why you're feeling satisfied. You cannot be satisfied by attempting to please your senses directly. It doesn't work. That's what you've tried so many lifetimes. It looked like it made complete sense to you, didn't it? I've got senses. I've got this body. Okay, I please them. Yes. This is what the whole world agrees on, right? You've got senses. You've got your body. So you go to work. In Krishna consciousness, there is sense gratification, but it's indirect. Now, the problem is, sometimes you'll feel doubts that because the sense gratification is indirect, maybe it's not as good. It would seem only logical that direct is better than indirect. It would seem that indirect sense gratification is diluted. Whereas direct sense gratification is vibrant and lively. Passionate. Indirect sense gratification, that's kind of theoretical and wispy. No, that's not at all so. Bhagavatam is showing you indirect sense gratification is unlimited. in terms of potency. And the direct sense gratification is very paltry, very tiny. It's for persons who are less than small timers. So these are the concepts that bewilder us sometimes. And then Maya starts to bang on your door. Don't you want some direct sense gratification? It's the real thing. You'll have it in your hand. The real thing. Pungent and spicy. Like red hot chilies. And Maya tells you, yes, there's something to Krishna consciousness, but it's just a bit tepid, it's a bit theoretical, it's a bit metaphysical, and a bit far and beyond. How can you put down the immediacy of direct sense gratification with its power, its vividness? This is just a cheating illusion. The indirect sense gratification is the most powerful. There's no comparison between gratifying your senses indirectly by serving Krishna and trying to gratify your senses directly through the usual Kali Yuga processes. No comparison. Now, why don't you try to understand that? You gratify your senses indirectly by chanting Krishna's name, by dancing, by taking prasad, by hearing about Krishna, talking about Krishna. This is the most powerful form of sense gratification. But Maya tricks you by telling you, because it's not direct, it's got to be not as good. Not true at all. This is not true at all. You have to deprogram yourself out of these fallacious notions. Try to understand the beguiling, bewitching effect of Maya. Do you really think that you're looking at this world and you're getting the true picture? No, you're dealing with the illusory energy, which cheats you, bewilders you. It's like I was speaking in Mayapur, how when Durga appeared in Kamsa's prison cell, you know how Vasudeva exchanged Krishna for Yashoda's daughter, Yogamaya, and brought Yashoda's daughter back to Mathura, to the prison cell. And then Kamsa was alerted that the eighth child had been born, so he rushed in, ready to kill the eighth child who was supposed to kill him. And Devaki begged Kamsa, don't kill this girl, don't kill this girl. You've killed so many of my children already. Devaki knew her child was safe in Vrindavan, but she was fighting to save the child of someone else. She was expanding her service. Not only was she caring for Krishna, but she was also caring for someone else's child. So she did her best to keep Kamsa from killing the child. She tried to make him feel ashamed. You've already killed so many of my children. You've already killed six of my children. Give me a break. You know, let the daughter live. And then she offered him some bribe. I promise you, this daughter will be the wife of your son. She was trying everything. But Kamsa didn't care. He grabbed the newborn baby by her legs and tried to smash her head against the wall of the prison. And then the child flew out of his grasp and manifested the form of Durga. The child is Yogamaya, but Yogamaya doesn't reveal her spiritual form to demons. So she appeared as her subdivision, Mahamaya, illusion. Mahamaya is a department of Yogamaya. Just like the shadow is a sub-department of the light. So when Kansa saw Durga Devi, he was immediately overwhelmed by awe and reverence. Yes, this is the real divine manifestation, Durga Devi. Immediately he begged his sister for forgiveness, recognizing her extraordinary qualities because she had given birth to Durga Devi. How wonderful you must be. Durga Devi has taken birth from you. I never knew that you were so exalted. Krishna he wanted to kill, but when he saw Durga Devi, oh, amazing. Durga Devi has appeared from my own sister, Devaki. Wow. I didn't know she was so exalted. Showing how materialists are always impressed by the material energy. They're ready to offer obeisances. They're ready to have a change of heart even because of the material energy. They have that faith in the material energy. And devotees have faith in the spiritual energy. And then we use the material energy in Krishna's service. Let us analyze our life and see how much our intelligence is still captured by the illusory energy. Accepting the propositions of Maya to be for real. We don't question the material energy. Oh, yes, it all makes sense. But we worry about Bhagavatam. I don't know about these things, you know. Lord Sankarshan, with his thousands of raised hoods, began to radiate in effulgence from the glowing stones on his head. I don't know about that. Material energy, I know. Yes. Mode of passion, mode of ignorance, wonderful. For sure, without a doubt. But they have that Kiwi expression. They use it mainly on the South Island, I think I noticed. Good as gold. Right? They don't say it so much on North Island, do they? South Islanders. Thank Chris, they said. Good as gold. Huh? Yeah. Probably a more, how do you say it, more appropriate expression would be, yeah, as good as a beer party or something, something like that. Because no one sees any gold these days. All they get is paper money. You don't even get paper money these days. Everything, they want a cashless society, electronic money. But you'll see people in illusion and still going around saying, it's good as gold. They never see gold. So better to say, as good as beer, or as good as a beer party. All right. As good as a drunken stupor, or as good as a, what do you call it when they're taking ecstasy for many days and then they crash? What do they call it? No one knows. Anyway, Everyone's innocent. All right. You don't know? It's called a come down. As good as a come down. Those would be more appropriate, accurate expressions. As good as a one-night affair. We have that faith in the vital energy that it's rational, it's just. In fact, people get angry at injustice. How can the vital energy act in this way? Unjust political arrangements, unjust economic arrangements. It's like Sue can tell you about the activists, the professional activists throughout New Zealand. Protesting injustice. Well, why don't you understand the whole material energy supervised by Durga Devi is unjust? It's a ripoff. Who's protesting that? The material energy cheats you. What did Durga Devi do to Kamsa? Did she tell him the truth? Who knows? No one has read Krishna books? No one has read the Bhagavatam? Did Durga Devi, when she appeared before Kamsa, after he tried to smash her against the wall, did she tell him the truth? Not exactly. What did she say? No one knows? You don't know what she said? She lied. She said the child you're looking for has been born somewhere else. She cheated him. She straight-faced lied to him. Krishna had been born at that place, but she lied and says the child you're looking for has been born somewhere else. That's the material energy. Straight-faced lied. And comes to believe, oh, Durga Devi, of course I believe you. I can't believe that you have appeared from Devaki. Oh, Devaki must be a great saint. How did I overlook that? She's given birth to Durga Devi. And Kamsa got all so sentimental, he began to beg forgiveness from Devaki and Vasudeva. Excuse me for killing six of your babies, but, you know, these things happen sometimes. I'm just the immediate cause, but, you know, it's the remote cause, providence, that arranges all these things. Anyway, we're not the body. And Devaki and Vasudeva responded, yes, you've spoken very correctly. We're not the body, and we're not the ultimate doers, and you know, people come together and separate all by the arrangement of time. So they actually forgave Kamsa. Can you imagine? You're a mother and someone has just killed six of your children, one after another, as soon as they were born, and you forgive them? You forgive the person? But Devaki and Vasudeva were actually responding to the philosophical truths that Kamsa was speaking. This level of humanity we don't find these days. Persons who can actually respond to truth even in the most uncomfortable circumstance. But the main reason that Vasudeva and Devaki forgave Kamsa was what? Who knows? Krishna was born. Yeah, Krishna's already born. They knew. comes to as a dead man. Yeah, we forgive you. You'll be dead soon. Krishna's already born. So, sure, say what you like. Yeah, we forgive you. So their attitude was a combination of sincere appreciation for Kamsa's words. Kamsa was speaking truth at that moment. And also, being great souls, they were forgiving. But ultimately, they knew. Anyway, after all is said and done, you're a dead dodo. Krishna has appeared and he's going to kill you. So. So this is the reality of the material energy. Just like she cheated Kamsa, lied straight in his face. You ever had that have you ever been conscious of someone lying straight to your face, or maybe immediately afterwards, or something? You know, it just really turns your stomach, doesn't it? You immediately call up your friends. He lied straight to my face. Yeah, it's happened. Yeah. Some of the ladies, some guy just told you straight to your face, "No, I was not with her. I wasn't with her. I'm not interested in her." Yes, it's happened. Yeah. And then you found out it was all bogus. You get enraged, don't you? He lied straight to my face. You get so angry. But no one gets angry about the material energy lying straight to your face. You take the propositions of Maya at face value. Oh, yes, it's Maya telling me the truth. Krishna, you have to be a little careful about. Be worried about the Bhagavatam. But Maya, oh, it's as it is. Maya as it is. Passion is just as it is. Ignorance is just as it is. The immediate sublime benefits of intoxication and illicit sex are known to all. Just as you get angry when someone lies to your face. Nah, I wasn't interested in her. She just wanted some help with her schoolwork. Reminds me of when they have those Tui beer ads, and they always have some statement in the year, right? I remember I saw one which was funny. These macho male statements. I was just reading what was on her t-shirt. Yeah, right? You can imagine that guy telling that to his wife. I was just looking at, the words on her t-shirt. Yeah, right? So, no one likes to be lied to, but every day we accept the lying propositions of Maya. There'll be world peace through sense gratification. Economic development will make everyone happy and everyone will cooperate and get along. Sex life will fulfill your heart. All these lies we just accept. Just like Kamsa accepted Durga Devi's word. The child has been born elsewhere. The child you're looking for has been born elsewhere. It's a complete lie. Now, if you want to know Krishna, if you want to be comfortable with the science of bhakti, then make plans how to develop your affection and love for devotional service. Whatever service you're doing, Put your heart into it. Cultivate a relationship with your service. Think about it, how to make it better, how to do it with a better attitude. How to be more sacrificial, less selfish. How to be more steady. In that way, you'll understand the science of Krishna.